Let's go to Jean now in Minnesota. Hi, Jean.
Hi, Patrick. The reason I'm calling is yesterday I was flipping through the TV and came across one of your talks that you were giving. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I came in towards the end of it, and you were just finishing up about talking about a priest who, during his homily, had talked about being in a state of grace and, you know, when you should be going to communion and when you shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And you said that by the time it came time to go to communion, a lot of people did not go to communion that day.
Oh, I remember that story.
Said. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to find out what he said that caused that many people not to go to communion.
Okay. I probably have enough time to tell you that story, Jean, but I'll need to start it from the beginning so you understand the context. Is that what you'd like me to do?
Okay. I love it. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Well, those talks are all available on YouTube. So, okay, so here goes, Jean. I'll tell you the talk in context. I'll tell you the story in context. I was invited to speak. This is years ago, maybe 20 years ago. I was invited to speak at a parish in California. By this time, I was already living in Ohio, where I live now. But I was invited to speak at a Saturday conference at a parish in California that, oddly enough, was rather well known as being very left of center, as being a parish that was always sort of pushing the envelope in the direction of, wanting women priests and wanting, doing things that were contrary to what the church taught. And so I thought, why am I, of all people, being invited to speak at this parish? I couldn't imagine. And I discovered it was because the parish, because it was quite a large, beautiful parish that could seat maybe 2,000 people. It was rented for the day, for Saturday, by an organization that was bringing in a couple of speakers, myself and this Catholic priest whom I had never met. And so I figured, okay, that's why they're bringing us in. So I did the talk. I did several talks. And the way it would work is the priest who spoke before me, he was speaking very powerfully, and I would have to get up after he spoke and give my talk. It was not a position I relished, because his oratory was so powerful that I always felt like, here comes the second string. But anyway, so he would speak, then I would speak, then he would speak, then I would speak, then we'd take a break, come back, do it in the afternoon. And by about 5 o'clock, everybody goes home. So all the 2,000 people who were there, they get in their minivans with their pro-life bumper stickers and the rosaries hanging from their back windows, and they pack up the strollers and the kids, and they all leave. And it dawned on me at that point that these were people who weren't from that parish. They came from points distant to attend this conference. So they all left. Well, about a half an hour later, 5:30 p.m. vigil mass starts, and that's the mass I had to go to because I was going to be on an airplane the following day going home. So I'm seeing all the cars coming in for the 5:30 mass. And I sat in the very back of the church. So I was even behind the pews in a chair against the back wall. And I had a commanding view of the entire church. It was one of these churches that kind of slopes down theater style to the center where the altar is, to the sanctuary. And I was surprised to see that the priest who had been speaking at this conference, he was going to be celebrating Mass. So he was helping out. That might have been part of the deal. If your priest will celebrate Mass, give Father McGillicuddy an evening off, we'll rent the place to you as part of it. So anyway, so he comes in and he's the one who's going to celebrate Mass. And a lot of the people who were in the congregation, they were the typical, kind of laid-back California Catholics. It looks like they just stopped barbecuing and they were in flip-flops and t-shirts and they just came in to go to Mass, and then they'd go back to the barbecue. So it was a rather casual-looking group, and my impression was they probably were not used to the kind of preaching and teaching that I had heard this priest give. So Mass continues, and then at the Gospel, the reading is from John chapter 6, the Bread of Life discourse. And so then everybody sits down, and the priest proceeds to preach. He proceeds to tell, give his sermon. And he starts off much more mildly than I saw him do so in the talks that I saw that day. So he starts off by saying, Jesus is your friend, Jesus loves you, the Holy Eucharist is food for the journey, and lots of very kind of warm and fuzzy, almost platitudes. And he seemed to be sort of anesthetizing the congregation because everybody was sort of lulled into this very soft, fuzzy, you know, happy thoughts kind of thing. So he did that for a couple of minutes. And then he said, he turned a corner when he said, and in this life, there are only two kinds of people, winners and losers. And everybody sat up like, oh, what? What's he saying? And then he said, there are only two kinds of people, winners who go to heaven and losers who go to hell. And most of you are probably losers. So there was this collective gasp and everybody was like, what? And amazingly, nobody got up and walked out. I was waiting for that, but you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody was just holding their breath like, what is he saying here? So then he went on and he said, here's why I say this. He said, because many of you, maybe most of you, adults, he said, are falling into serious sins, mortal sins on a regular basis. And then he went through a list of about, you know, 10 or 12 very common, very, very common mortal sins, internet pornography, drunkenness, infidelity, theft, you know, stealing from your employer because when you should be working and you're earning money, you're actually shopping on Amazon or you're checking out your Facebook page and that's a form of theft. And he just went through this list of things, contraception, etc., divorced and civilly remarried, etc. So he went down this list and he says, most of you, I know this because I hear confessions every week and I hear confessions of people all over the country and this is what's going on. So he said, most of you are probably committing all these serious sins. And he said, all of you are going to come up and go to Holy Communion. He says, this is a terrible phenomenon of Catholics who routinely fall into serious sin or they just, you know, live there. They never really get out of it. They never really struggle against it. They're just perpetually living lives of unchastity and impurity and drunkenness and the other things. And he says, and then, you know, without going to confession, you just come up and receive Holy Communion. And he said, and that's a further sacrilege on top of all the other sins. That's another big sin by receiving Holy Communion unworthily. And then he, you know, he said a few other things and then he sat down and then the mass continued and everybody was still like, what? What did we just see? So at communion time, Joan, I watched, I couldn't help it. Forgive me, Lord. There were, you know, a significant number of people who did not get up and go to Holy Communion. And so I interpreted that to mean that his words really hit home. I mean, he hit them right between the eyes and he hit them hard. So the coda to that story, Gene, is, you know, I left the following morning. I got on my big old jet airliner. And I was thinking about what I had just seen. I had never seen anything like that. I had never heard of anything like that, of a Catholic priest saying or doing something like that. And I was thinking about that. And it really, like, wow, you know, that's amazing. Not, you know, it's, I didn't quite know what to make of it, except that, you know, he really reached them, whether or not they were happy about it or not, I don't know. But he reached them. He got their attention. So about a month goes by, Gene. About a month goes by, and I'm back out west, and this time I'm in Reno, and I'm doing an event for like a Catholic professional business person's thing event, and there are, I don't know, 100, 150 people in the audience, and I'm giving my talk, and at a certain point in my talk, I don't know why this happened, Gene, but that the thing that had happened with the priest talking to the congregation a month earlier, it just came into my mind, and I thought, you know, that would be a really good point I could make here. And then I, as I'm talking, I'm thinking to myself, but I could never say that to these people. I could never say that. And then I thought, yeah, but I could say that the priest said that. So I said it. So I told the story just as I told it to you now. And the same reaction, the people in the audience gasped like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. And so I just told the story just as I told you the story. And then I finished up my talk and then I, you know, grabbed my briefcase or whatever, and I went back to my book table to sign some books. And this woman came up to me. I don't know how young she was. She might have been in her mid 30s, maybe. And she came up to me, and I could see that she was upset, and she was kind of crying a little bit. And she said, "I need some advice. What advice can you give me? Because I feel like I really need to reconnect with my Catholic faith." And at first I wasn't sure what she meant. I mean, like, are you wanting to study the Bible more? Or do you want to read up on church history? And I wasn't sure what she meant. And she said, "That story that you told about what the priest said. She said, he was describing me.
What?
He was describing me. She said, I am doing most of those things and have been for a long time. And she says, I don't even remember how long ago it's been since I've gone to confession. And I'm doing many of those things. And I go to communion every Sunday. And she said, I finally realized that I am on my way to hell. She said it just like that, with tears in her eyes. And she says, what do you recommend? What can I do? So I pointed to the back of the room that we were in, and I said, there are a couple of priests back there who attended the talk. My advice, go over to one of them and tell them that you really need to go to confession, and I'm certain that Father will hear your confession here and now. You know, you can go out in the hallway, or you can go in some area that's not, you know, with other people, and I'm sure he'll hear your confession. So she thanked me, and she turned and she walked over to the priest, and you know, they were far enough away that I couldn't hear what was said, but it was really clear. She asked him, Father, would you please hear my confession? And I saw him nod, and they turned and they walked out into the hallway, out into the lobby probably. And so for me, Gene, not only was that a high impact message that the priest gave to the people that day who were not expecting it, and probably many of whom were angered by it, but some of them, I'll bet, were saved by it. Even telling the story secondhand at a business person's meeting a month later, in even me just recounting the story, had a saving effect on this woman. And it just, I've never forgotten it. And that's the story.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It's helping me tremendously. So thank you.
You're welcome, Jean. Thanks for bringing it up. I haven't told that story in ages.
For more of The Patrick Madrid Show, visit relevantradio.com/Patrick.